Undoubtedly, there will be a few anxious federal politicians watching the New South Wales election result, as will our regular political commentator, Phil Currie. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Cathy.
Now, how much is the Berejiklian government's fate tied to the infighting over leadership, climate and coal that's been ongoing on in the federal ranks of the Liberal Party, indeed the entire coalition?
Look, I think we'll have to wait till Sunday before we can give an answer to that and see what the claims are made by the people who lose. I'm sure if the Liberals, if Gladys Berejiklian's government falls short or has a disappointing result and ends up with a hung parliament, I'd probably suggest a few of them are going to blame what happened down here, especially last week, whether that's right or not. But we'll probably see a fair bit of finger pointing. If they win, then not so much. Mm. I don't think it's going to be like Victoria, where you had this enormous rout back in November last year of the coalition government, and there were sort of fairly despite the denials, there were some fairly direct federal factors that played into that result, which have come out since. So I don't think it'll be as egregious as that, but I reckon there'll be a bit of blame shifting if they don't get over the line on Saturday.
Well, certainly we're seeing former prime ministers being trundled out for this New South Wales campaign. John Howard, Malcolm Turnbull, and now Paul Keating apparently writing to letters to voters as well. I guess it's a sign of the stakes here.
Yeah, it's very tight. And look, I don't know who's going to win. I haven't followed it that closely because it's not my main beat. But just by what I have picked up and people I've spoken to, no one's really in either side's prepared to call it on the day. So I guess it's not unusual people pull out all stops at the end. It's quite a thing in state elections, Cathy, that I don't know why it is, but voters really sort of tend to focus in those last few days, and you can often get quite a big swing in the final days of a state election campaign. Like, it might be 50-50 now, but we may get a completely different result on the day. It's just some phenomenon we've seen here in the last few years.
Yeah, but the polls are really hard to follow now, aren't they? Mm. And so what we have seen, Phil, over the past couple of days is Labor trying to put pressure on the Prime Minister over One Nation preferences. Mm. He says he's not going to do a deal with Pauline Hanson's party, but he's also not committing to putting them last. So there is a bit of wriggle room there. Could this affect the coalition's ability to hang on to some of the marginal Queensland seats?
Look, if One Nation retaliates, yes. There's 8 seats in Queensland under margins of 5%. 7 of those are held by the coalition, and there is a bit of nervousness in Queensland in the LNP on the back of the PM's statement the other day, even though they didn't do deals last time, because some people up there want to do deals because they feel that's the only way. In 2016, no one really anticipated One Nation coming out of the blocks like it did, and it was helped to a large extent by it being a double dissolution and that enabled to get all these senators up. Double de-election enabled to get all these senators up. So it was something they didn't really focus on at the last election, but this time it's much more of a concern. And there's expectations, One National poll 15 to 20% in some seats, talking to some of the MPs up there. So a few of them wouldn't mind some sort of deal, help One Nation in the Senate or something like that in return for preferences in some of these seats. They see it as the difference between life and death. Others say no. Just let the dice fall as they may. So, it's not just the coalition. I mean, in Herbert, which is the one Labor seat in Queensland, held under 5%. I was speaking to one of the Labor people up there, and he said the One Nation preference is split 50-50 at the election up there in Herbert. Now, that's a seat I think Labor holds by 0.02% or something, a couple of hundred votes, and that's one seat people expect the coalition to win back. So it doesn't. It's not all bad for the coalition.
No, that's right. And Longman's another one as well, Phil.
Yeah.
Can we go to the diplomatic rift with Turkey? It's developed over some pretty extraordinary comments by the Turkish president in relation to the Christchurch shootings. Mm. What do you make of the PM's handling of this?
It was fairly strident, wasn't it? I mean, the remarks were reported yesterday. I noticed there's some people in the Turkish community this morning saying that he overreacted, that he misinterpreted it. But I think from a diplomatic point of view, people don't get nuance. They weren't comments by some nutty senator or a fringe-dwelling senator. They were comments from the president of a country who's in the midst of an election campaign and is whipping up populist sentiment and so forth. So I think, you know, from diplomatic terms, that the strident nature of the Prime Minister's response was actually aimed as much as Turkey as it was, you know, domestically. Mm. It was designed to send a clear and unambiguous message that that is not, you know, the views of Fraser Anning and so forth, and are not the views of the Australian government, and that, you know, what the Turkish president was claiming was manifestly wrong.
And, all right. And just very briefly, Phil, time's against us,
yeah,
but
sure.
on the Christchurch terrorist attack, we had a few days afterwards the PM announcing the new migration cap. It's out just in time for the New South Wales election. How are the business groups reacting to that?
Well, I was a bit nervous, a bit lukewarm. Look, the Prime Minister said yesterday had they taken the cap under 160,000, it would have, you know, hurt the budget. So he left it there. So, yeah, they're caught between their business constituency and calls internally and elsewhere for cutting population migration growth. I think they sort of erred on the side of caution in terms of not harming the economy. So, yeah, the business groups, they weren't happy, but they weren't sort of, you know, shattered either. But I think it remains to be seen how long they can keep the level this low, especially if the labour demand in the big eastern states capitals continues to increase, as many expect it will.
Phil, good to talk to you.
Good on you, Kath.
Phil Currie is the political editor with the Australian Financial Review.